Good morning, everyone, on this wonderful special day of celebration. I must say it's a bit disconcerting for me to be here speaking to you from our almost empty auditorium. Now, I know you can see me. I hope you can see me, thanks to technology and thanks to Jaron, who understands these things. But it does feel a bit weird because I can't see you. That is a bit disconcerting. Feel free to talk back to me, or at least to the screen on which you are watching. 6 months ago, who would have thought that on Easter Sunday, the highlight of our year as Christians, we would be meeting together in this way, behind closed doors, for fear of the coronavirus? And of course, I've chosen my words quite deliberately to emphasise the parallel between these uncertain times and life as it was back then for those first disciples, that first Easter Sunday. Now, there are many differences, of course. Back then, Jesus' followers had a realistic fear that those who had just crucified Jesus would track them down and want to kill them too. That morning, some of the women and then Peter and John had been to the tomb only to find the stone rolled away and the tomb itself empty. Luke writes about two men in white. Surely they must have been angels, who spoke to the women and said something about Jesus having risen from the dead. But by the time the message made its way back to the men, well, who knows what was actually said and what it all really meant. So they were still fearful that afternoon. They gathered together to comfort each other and share their uncertainties. And they kept the doors locked. Can't be too careful in these uncertain times. And Jesus came to them somehow, and he stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." Actually, he said it again a moment or two later. He obviously knew how his followers were feeling and what they needed at that time more than anything else. I think we could confidently say those disciples weren't very peaceful that very first Easter Sunday afternoon. Jesus came to them, he stood among them, and he offered them peace. For whatever reason, we're not told, Thomas wasn't with them that afternoon. And when the others told him about it, Thomas wouldn't have a bar of it. Once you're dead, you're dead. Unless and until he could see and touch Jesus himself, he wasn't going to believe something that we know now as a solid fact. It was pretty unbelievable at the time. A week later, and the disciples were all back together again, and this time Thomas was with them. And it happened again. The doors were locked, and Jesus just came straight through and stood among them. And what did he say this second time? "Peace be with you." Easter is the highlight of the year, and I look forward to Easter every year. It's the central event for us as Christians. But for me and for others who have been around a while and have prepared more than a few Easter messages, there's a bit of a challenge. What can I say that I haven't said before? And so we read the gospel accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection again, and maybe Paul's commentary on the events of Easter, searching for something we may have overlooked, maybe trying to find a different angle that will catch and hold our listeners' attention. There is nothing new. The story is today what it always has been. On the Friday, the Romans, at the instigation of the Jewish religious leaders, crucified Jesus. They thought they'd won, but it was all part of God's plan where Jesus would die as a substitute for the rest of us who really deserved to die. The Jews and the Romans thought that was the end of the story. Jesus was in the tomb, they could get on with life. But the real story was just getting underway. On the Sunday, God raised Jesus to life, turning the tables, turning defeat into the greatest victory of all time, changing forever our understanding of life and of death. It's all there, The story never changes. It's as old as the gospel accounts which record it for us. The story never changes, but our circumstances do. Each one of us this Easter is a year older than we were last year, and a year brings with it many changes. Our young children are now 1 year bigger, stronger, more mature. They know a lot more than they did this time last Easter. Those of us at the other end of the spectrum have also seen some changes, most of them not as positive or as welcome as the changes that our children have undergone. Our joints are a little stiffer. There may be a few more grey hairs, or maybe a few less grey hairs. Our memories have probably not improved with this passing of time. And the risen Jesus comes to us this Easter in all our uncertainties and changing circumstances. He stands among us and he says, "Peace be with you." This is a message for these times, for our times and circumstances, a message that we really need to hear and take to heart. Let me say at this point, I don't mean to minimise or trivialise the crisis that has swept around our world in recent times. It's real and it's still potentially very dangerous. It's disrupted all of our lives to some extent. Its effects have been quite devastating for some, especially for those who have lost loved ones to the virus, and also those who have lost their jobs, lost their livelihoods, or lost their businesses. And Jesus comes to us wherever we are, however we've been affected, whatever our particular fears and anxieties. He stands among us and he says, "Peace be with you." Now I suspect that back then the words themselves may have been some kind of common greeting, a bit like we in Australia might say these days, "G'day mate, how you going?" But there is one very big difference. Jesus was not supposed to be there. They'd watched him die. Joseph and Nicodemus had prepared his body and placed it in the tomb. One moment they were grieving, troubled and fearful, locked away in a room by themselves. The next, Jesus was with them, talking to them. He was supposed to be in the tomb. He was not supposed to be able to get through those locked doors. When this man said, "Peace be with you," in this context, it was more than a common greeting. It wasn't just the words. It was the words plus the presence of the person who spoke them. It had always been like that for the disciples. Somehow, when Jesus was with them, things were okay. That's what makes the resurrection so important. Let me invite you to use your imaginations with me for a moment this morning. Imagine we're watching an experienced stone mason at work, and he's building an archway in a wall. He works his way carefully up each side, one stone at a time, until he reaches the point where his arch needs to start to come in from the sides to where they are going to meet in the middle. At this point, he needs some formwork in the shape of the arch that he wants to build to carry the weight of the stones until they finally meet at the top. Otherwise, they're just going to collapse. Until the arch is completed and that last stone is in position, the arch has no strength and it's very unstable. Now, with the formwork still there, the archway is actually quite useless. It can't fulfil its purpose. But once that all-important last stone is in position, the arch is complete, the completed stonework is very strong, and then the formwork can be removed. Our faith is like that archway, and the resurrection is that last important stone that binds the whole structure together and gives it its strength. Stone by stone, the faith of those first disciples had been built up through their time, the time that they spent with Jesus. They started following him as a rabbi whose teaching set him apart from the other itinerant preachers doing the circuit. They witnessed his early miracles, like the time at a wedding when Jesus changed ordinary water into top quality wine. A few more stones were added that day to the archway of their faith. One day out on the lake with Jesus, a sudden storm blew up. Now Jesus was asleep, and when the disciples woke him, he stood up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and the storm died down instantly. Can you imagine what that did for their faith? Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" With a flash of inspiration, Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then came that horrible Friday. Nothing good about it from the disciples' perspective back then. Their Messiah was dead. How can you kill God? And where did that leave them? Their hope had gone. Their faith was in tatters. Horrible Friday. Miserable Saturday. Praise God for Sunday. Just when it seemed that their archway was about to collapse, God placed that final stone in position. Who is this man that they'd been following? Not even death could hold him down. Not just their faith restored, their faith, their understanding, their confidence soared to new heights that day. And then came the day of Pentecost, but that's a story for another time. Let's note this morning that on that first Easter Sunday, circumstances for the disciples didn't really change. Their fear of persecution from their Jewish religious leaders was well founded. Peter and John were forbidden to preach and teach in Jesus' name. They continued preaching and teaching anyway. Peter was thrown in prison. God sent an angel to set him free. James was thrown in prison, and Herod had him executed. Stephen was stoned. In fact, one by one, those 12 disciples, with the exception of John, laid down their lives for the gospel and the one who gave it to them. So did Paul. Sometimes God intervened for their physical protection. Often he didn't. Life for those first disciples was dangerous and remained dangerous after Jesus had risen. But their perspective was changed forever. Jesus was alive and with them, and one day they would be with him again physically. That knowledge made all the difference. Sometimes God miraculously intervenes in our circumstances too. Often he comes to us and says, "Fear not, I am with you." And while our circumstances may not always change, he renews and restores our perspective. I love the 23rd Psalm, and I'm amazed at David's insight, writing as he did so many years before Jesus. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he wrote, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." David knew that if he could trust God for the big one, the one that is ahead for each of us, then he could certainly trust God to be with him through all of the other uncertainties of life. More than the words Jesus spoke to those frightened disciples in the locked room that day, his presence with them brought peace to their troubled hearts. This morning we all share the uncertainties around the coronavirus with its health concerns and its economic and financial implications. We have our individual circumstances too, and maybe other anxieties around family, relationships, health, and other issues. And on this Easter Sunday morning, the risen Jesus comes to us. He stands among us and he says to each one of us, "Peace be with you." God bless you on this special day, this day of celebration, And may the peace of God, which transcends understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.